Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 to 5. Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 to 13. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There, Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before your eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring your water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he showed himself holy among them.
Please join me as I lead you in prayer. Let us worship the Lord with prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for the wonderful gift of salvation in our Lord Christ Jesus. O Lord, we thank you for coming into this world to save sinners like us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming into our lives to dwell and to guide and to protect. O God, we pray for renewal, not only individual, but also corporate. We pray that your Holy Spirit will renew our mind, will transform us daily, so that we can always be pleasing in the sight of our Father in heaven. We can always be found fit for his service. O Lord, have mercy on us. As the songs we sang this morning, we want to be transformed. We want to see how you are working in our lives and how in turn you can use us to further your kingdom ministry in this part of the Lower Mainland and around the world. O God, let us not be satisfied with what we have. Let us not just be Sunday Christians. Let us be followers, truly functioning, fully functioning followers of Jesus Christ. O Lord, you know our struggles. There are so many distractions and there are so many temptations around us. But we praise you and give thanks to you because you are the Lord of triumph. You are the victorious Lord. You are the resurrected Lord who has conquered sin, who has defeated death. And we praise you for that. And may you help us to always turn our minds and our hearts to you. Help us stay focused on you, who are the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, may you revive this body of yours here at the Burnaby of Pacific Grace Church. Help us to really be determined to follow you throughout 2013 and beyond. Help us be Christians that can truly represent you here in the Lower Mainland and beyond. Oh Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for sending us into our community, the school, our workplace, home, or wherever we may be. Oh Lord, may we all bear that witness. May we all have that fragrance in us. When people see us, when people talk with us, they know that we are Christians. We thank you, O God. And this morning, as we prepare ourselves to hear your word in the Old Testament, we pray for open mind, we pray for humility, we pray for a teachable spirit. Help us be attentive to what you have to say to us through your servant, Pastor Anthony. We pray that you will anoint him, you will give him clarity of speech, help him to speak boldly, and help us to surrender ourselves to you. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are very happy to have Pastor Anthony Law in our midst this morning. Pastor Anthony is one of the pastors of our sister churches, the South of Vancouver Pacific Grace. We are very happy that we have this kind of relationship, not only in name, but actually in practice. Pastor Anthony and I have served together on different occasions, and so we are very happy to have him this morning.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm so glad to be here to worship with you today. Actually, last night I have a series of nightmares when I sleep, and all have one common theme, is that I cannot come to here to preach this morning. So I keep waking up and checking my clock, okay, and then get prepared. So it's really a grace that I can be here. Actually, we cannot take it for granted every time that we can be together to worship the Lord. So I'm so glad, and I hope that God will continue to bless your church. So this morning when I come here, I have brought something with me. So let me show you. What's that in my hand? You don't know? A rod. What's that in my hand? It is actually, this rod has a name. It's called the Lois rod. It's named after my eldest daughter, Lois. And I picked it up at my backyard. And in the Bible, there was a person who also holds a similar rod. Who is he? Moses. Yes, it's Moses. Of course, his rod is not a Lois rod, but a Moses rod. In the first 40 years of Moses' life, he held a rod of authority as the prince of Egypt. And his 40 years after his royal living, he held a similar rod, but it's a shepherd's rod. When he reached his age of 80, God appeared to him and called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. God has a very specific question about his rod. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, God asks, "What is that in your hand?" Moses responds, "It's a rod." At that time, Moses already had 80 years of experience of holding rod. God asked him about his rod. In Hebrew, the word rod is matah, means rod, staff, branch, or tribe. During the 80 years of Moses' life, whether it was the authority's rod or the shepherd's rod, they were presenting three things, three vital areas of his life. First of all, it represents Moses' identity. Who am I? When he was holding the authority rod, he's the prince of Egypt, in the royalty and also in nobility. When he's holding the shepherd's rod, he also tells who he is. He was. He retains some identities. Moses is a shepherd. The rod represents his work, his career, and his personal identity. Secondly, the rod represents his income and wealth, his possession, what he had. When he was holding the authority rod, it represents that he is very wealthy. He has the earthly belongings. He has also servants and also slaves. When he's holding the shepherd's rod, he still remains some possession. His wealth was measured by the number of the livestock he possessed. The number of the cattle, the sheep, and the goats would tell accurately how wealthy Moses was. The rod not only represents Moses' identity, but also his possession. And thirdly, the rod represents the influential power of Moses, what he could do. With the authority rod, it symbolizes authority as a prince. He commands, wins, and reigns. When he's holding the shepherd's rod, he still retains some influential power over the sheep. He commands the sheep from one direction to another, using the crooked end of the rod to pull the sheep or to point one end, point them with one end. The rod can also be used to fence off wild animals. So 80 years of life, the rod deeply represents Moses' identity, who he is, his influential power, what he does, and his possession, what he has. Brothers and sisters, what are you holding in your hands today? How long have you been holding your rod? These things can be your career, your degree. You hold them tightly because they represent who you are. These things can be your bank account, your investment, your properties, and even your children, your family. You're holding them tightly because they tell you what you have. These things can also be your working position. Maybe also your parental authority over your children. You're holding on it tightly so that you can see what you can do. These are truly your rod. God asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" Moses answered, "It's a rod. It's a Moses rod." Today, God is asking you the same question. What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? Look at what you are holding tightly today. What will be your answer? What's that in your hand? God never asked a question for himself. He had already known the answer. Every time when God asks a question, he wants you to know the answer. God knew that what was Moses holding in his hand, but Moses didn't. What was Moses holding in his hand? No doubt, it was a rod. But during the 40 years Moses as a prince and also 40 years as a shepherd, he only knew that it was his rod. It is the Moses rod. It was his very own rod that must hold it tightly. This rod is highly important as it represents Moses' identity, his possession, and what he can do, his influential power. That is why it was so important for Moses to hold the rod tightly, to not to lose any of these. Otherwise, nothing could left. There is a song titled "Nothing Left" by famous Cantonese pop star Wong Kid. How many of you come from Hong Kong? How many of you know this? I think Pastor Paul and we know that. And some of you know that. There's a song singing from this singer called "Nothing Left," "Yat Mo So Yao." And he cried out in this song saying that, "Is it real that I was left with nothing?" For those who are coming from Hong Kong, "Si Fau Ngo Zan De Yat Mo So Yao." He cried out this. And in the world we are living, there seems to have a rule. Holding tight means possessing. Letting go means nothing left. Is it true that there will be nothing left if I let go? The earthly law teaches us yes. Holding tight means possessing. Letting go means nothing left.
But when we are facing God, we are not using the earthly law, but the spiritual law. We must realign our thinking and us. If I let go and let God, is it real that I must leave with nothing? On the other hand, when we are holding tight, does it mean we truly possess? In fact, the spiritual law reveals to us, let go and let God does not mean left with nothing. In the life journey of Moses, he started learning this truth when he was 80 years old, entering the last one third of his life. Moses learned to let go and not to hold tight to his rod, the Moses rod. He discovered the Moses rod can turn into God's rod, and he was not left with nothing, but left with everything. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 2 to 4, the passage we have read today, God asked Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses responded, Lord, this is a rod in my hand, a shepherd's rod. It is my rod. The Lord said, throw it onto the ground. When Moses dropped it on the ground, it was made alive and turned into a snake. Something will sit still for a long while when it is in your hand. Such as a rod. For Moses, this rod has been with him for many, many years, under his complete control, his possession, and determined his identity. It can't be let go, just can. But an unexpected miracle happened when Moses let go his rod and let God. A shepherd rod giggled and turned the life into a living breath. After that, God wanted to demonstrate another side of his spiritual law to Moses. Holding tight means nothing left. God showed Moses, when you pick it up again, it will turn into a piece of dried up twig. A living thing turned dead once when you hold back again. When you hold tight the rod again, it returned to be a dry twig. Brothers and sisters, what are you holding? Is it a piece of dried up rod that you can let go? A piece of rod which has never been touched by the Lord? Or you have already let go and let God to use it so that it can be turned into an instrument for miracles? Miracles. The Lord said, every time when you let go the rod for me, it will come alive. But every time when you hold it tight, it will be dead. This experience becomes the turning point for Moses' life. From that point onward, the rod was no longer called the Moses rod, but called the lost rod. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 20, it says, so Moses took his wife and son, put them on the donkey, and started back to Egypt, and he took the staff of rod in his hand. The Bible no longer saying that this is the Moses rod. From that time onward, this became the God's rod. When your hand no longer holds my rod and let go, it will turn into lost rod. One miracle after another will continue to happen. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible said, but take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Brothers and sisters, do you have miracles in your life? Have you ever revealed God's miraculous power in your daily living? Or your life were just like the first 80 years of Moses. 80 years holding tight the Moses rod, his own rod, and not letting go of those things such as your career, your degree, your bank account, your investment, etc. and etc. And refusing to give back the authority to God. On a daily basis, are you holding tight on your rod, on a ruthless, wandering, and restless living? Brothers and sisters, it's time to let go and let God to hold the rod, to make it the lost rod and experience his miracles. When Moses' rod turned into the lost rod, we witnessed Moses use the rod to perform miraculous signs and reveal God's mighty power. The Bible records in three classical miracles in Exodus chapter 14 to 17. The three miracles are all related to the lost rod. The first one is walking in the dry land of the Red Sea. We all know about this. From Egypt to the Red Sea. It's through the rod. And then the second one is striking the rock of water from the desert of Sin to Rephidim. In Exodus chapter 4, 17, 1 to 7. Again, the rod. And the third is the defeating of the Amalek from Rephidim to the mountain top. All these miracles, the Lord promised Moses that when you let go, this rod becomes my rod. It performs miracles. And one by one, miracles will happen. When one let go the right of possession and let God, miracles would follow. But before performing miracles, besides letting go the right of possession, God wants Moses to learn one more thing in order to manifest his miraculous power. God used the 10 plagues in Egypt to teach Moses to let go and let God. But also, he need to let go the right of execution of the rod. So it's not just possessing, the right of possession you need to let go, but also the right of execution. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, God said to Moses, "Take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous sign with it." And when he surrendered his right of possession, he was endowed with God's authority and power. No question about this. But God further wanted Moses to know, only giving up the right of possession of his rod is not enough. He needs to learn one more thing, is to surrender the right of execution of the rod to God, which is completely obedience to listen to his weight and wait upon the Lord. It means to hold the Lord's rod in one hand, but not to override the Lord's authority on the execution. From the 10 plagues in Egypt, we can understand how God taught Moses the lesson of surrender, right of execution, back to him. So before that, God has already let Moses know that, okay, when you get let go the right of possession of your rod, I will let you to perform miracles. So I make a list and check out how many times that Moses really using his rod to perform the miracles. In the first three miracles, God said to Moses, "What? You said to Aaron, okay, I'm holding my rod, and I already surrender my right of possession to you." But God is not asking Moses to perform miracles with his rod. God told Moses, "You said to Aaron, it's Aaron's rod." The fourth and the fifth plague, God personally performed the miracles. So not using the rod, nor using people's rod to accomplish his will. And Moses still holding the rod. "Oh, I surrender. I already give my possession of the rod to you." But God is not using. It's not his time. So what's later on? The sixth plague, Moses began to get involved, but amazingly, still not using the rod, but just tossed the ashes into the air by his bare hand. The seventh to the ninth plague, when Moses learned more, let go of the right of execution, even having the rod holding in his hand, then he began to use the lost rod to perform miracles. But before the three classical miracles recorded in Exodus chapter 14 to 17, one last time in the 10th plague, God directly performed the miracle in order to show Moses one more time. Demonstrate of his almighty power actually is not relying on the rod nor the person holding the rod. It is fully dependent on whether the right of execution is completely given to the Lord. So in the 10th plague, God already told Moses, "I will use you when you make this as my rod to perform miracles." But how many miracles were there? God is using Moses to perform with his rod, with the lost rod. How many? Just three. God is teaching Moses, yes, one thing you need to learn, to let go the right of possession, but in the same time, to let go the right of execution. From the 10 plagues plus one miracle, God let Moses learn this. In order to perform miracles and be used by God, he has to let go not just the right of possession of his Moses rod, but also his right of execution when he's holding the lost rod. As one who had already letting go his own rod and received back the lost rod, which once was the dead tri trick, seeing miracles performed by his rod, such person's excitement and sense of satisfaction would be hard to express by word. Executing the rod to perform miracles would be always a design for such a person like Moses and also like me. When I learn to let go of my right of perception, miracle happens in my life one by one. By His mighty hand, my wife and I finish our seminary training in Regent College, and we start to serve the Lord among my church. God led me to have 7 years of excitement of having His rod in my hand and letting me to execute it by His power. But as time goes by, approaching my sabbatical several years ago, there's no more miracles. By that time, it seems there's a lot of difficulties in my ministries, and all in a sudden, God seems had taken all my achievement and my success away. And God led me into a state of wilderness, having nothing I can grasp and hold on to. At that time during my sabbatical, when I returned to Hong Kong and visited other churches, actually, there are pastors and churches invited me to consider to return to Hong Kong to serve. Don't worry, I have told my senior pastor about my experience on this, so he knows about my journey. In my wilderness, without more miracles I could perform, I want to change and want my execution ability back. I remember during my time of study in Israel, I bargained with the Lord. You know, in Israel, there's a lot of wilderness, like desert. And whenever I have field trip in the wilderness, I see the inner being of myself with my eyes glancing outside the dry, lifeless land. I have spoken to the Lord many, many times. Lord, I have already let go of my possession to you. I commit myself to serve you as your servant. And I let go all my possession to you. And you have used me to perform many, many miracles. But now you've brought me to the wilderness without anything and not letting me to do anything. I don't want to be like this. I want to hold your rod and perform miracles. And when I returned to Vancouver, I talked to my spiritual director, Ruth. And Ruth said to me, Anthony, the Lord actually has not taken away the gift, has not taken away the rod that He had given you. It's still here. But He wants you to want to mold you to become completely surrendered to Him, to do what He wants you to do according to His time and obedient to His will, and not to execute miracles by yourself. The Lord wants me to further learn to let go of my right of execution. A tough period of waiting, listening, obeying, responding to His sending brings up to renewal in my life. When I let go, I come to a real process. I truly possess the Lord, possess the direction from the Lord, possess His time, and possess His love, His power, His liberation. When a person can let go, surrender his right of possession and his authority of execution to the miraculous God, he will be able to experience the miracle, just like the Israelite passing the Red Sea. And it's amazing. It's amazing. To learn to let go of one's own rod and authority to God is not easy. But if you can do this, the rod will be touched by God and become the lost rod, and God will give it back to your hand. But once you are holding the lost rod, it will be a more challenging lesson to learn to give up the authority of executing the lost rod. It's in your hand. It's promised that it can do miracles. But you need to follow the God's direction, and you need to know, I need to surrender my right of execution to the Lord. Particularly when you're holding the rod for a long time, it will be hard to give up. And this lesson will be even harder to learn. That's right. Right before God called Moses and let him use the lost rod, he seriously taught Moses to let go his own rod and give up the authority of using the rod, to humbly submit to his will and time, obedient to his way and authority. Success comes from the rod, and also failure arises from the rod. After 40 years of holding the lost rod, when Moses reaches 120 years old, he had led the Israel for 40 years in the wilderness and had performed countless miracles with the lost rod. Then finally, with this rod, he came to the border of the promised land. But such a great, mighty leader, at that point, he had forgot it was God who led him to use the lost rod because of his letting go and let go of the right of possession and right of execution. Again, Moses' whole again not the lost rod. Hold again Moses' rod and execute it out of his own will and his way. This combat holding cost him the big price and penalty of not being permitted to enter the promised land. After 40 years of wandering, comes to the death of sin. And the Bible said in the first month of the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Sin. And they stayed at Kadesh. There, something happened. Miriam died and was buried. Miriam's death was at a place called Kadesh, means holy. In the passage that the second passage we read today, in this place, there's something happened. In such holy place, there's something happened. An unholy incident happened in this holy ground, as mentioned in the scripture we read today. Who was the offender? The Bible continued, the multitude do not have water to drink, and they gather to attack Moses and Aaron. Then something happened. Here, seems that an unholy incident occurred in this holy ground. It must have been the multitude complaining and attacked the servant of God. Unquestionably, the offender should be the multitude, right? Pay attention to the Bible. No. When we pay attention to the book of Numbers and its footnote, we will discover regarding the unholy incident happened here. It's not about the offender. It's not about the multitudes. The offender were not the multitudes. In chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible said, "These were the water of Meribah, where the Israelite quarreled with the Lord and where he showed himself holy among them." Although the multitude quarreled among themselves in the holy ground, God manifests himself as holy. In contrast, through the incident, God even had not reprimanded the Israelite in the whole passage recording in this incident. Then, who was the offender? Who committed unholy act in the Holy Land? We all know that. It was Moses and Aaron. The Bible recorded in chapter 20, verse 12. "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of Israelite, you will not bring this community into the land I give you.'" Why such spiritual heroes fell forward so badly? When dealing with the quarrel, what God commanded Moses to do? Verse 7, verse 8. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock before your eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink.'" And what was Moses' response? Pay attention to this. "So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, 'Listen, you rebels. Must we bring you water out of this rock?' Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock with his rod, twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank." But when you see this comparing the God's command to Moses' execution, what are the difference? There is something different. God's instruction first, pick up the rod to go. Yes, okay, Moses took up the rod and go. Gather the multitude. Yes, gather the multitude. Then Moses asked something. He reprimanded and criticized the community. And he even used the rod to hit the rock. But God, how was God's command? To tell the rock and not to hit the rock. Did he tell the rock? No, he didn't. He used his Moses' rod. He used the execution. That's why the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of Israel, you will not bring this community into the land I given you." After 40 years of holding the Lord's word, Moses forget the teaching of God that the prerequisite of using the rod is to give up the authority to use it. Let go of the right of execution. Moses thought that he already had experience of using the rod. Remember how he had performed the three great miracles. He has skills and knowledge that he could make the final call. With this retaking, he totally ignored the word, instruction, sending of the Lord, and decided to make his own way. Slowly and unnoticed, he returned to his old way and take up the right of execution. Moses did not only retake his right of execution, but also regain his ownership right, completely transform the lost rod back to Moses' rod. He returned to the stage of using Moses' rod to represent his personal identity, power, and influence. In verse 10, we see Moses held the lost rod and replaced God in his own angry words to reprimand the multitude as they rebels. In the Bible, only God has the qualification, right, and authority to reprimand someone as rebels. But after 40 years of holding the lost rod, Moses thought he had some right, authority, and influence to be elevated to get a bit of the golden nuggets from God. From letting go, returned to holding tight, the lost rod had transformed back to the Moses rod without much notice. After the mention of the rod in the Bible, in the biblical passage, there are no more mention any praise afterward. That's the end of this rod, after Moses had that action. Before the death of Moses, it's recorded in Numbers chapter 27, verse 12 to 14, and Deuteronomy, verse 32, verse 48 to 52, that God reminded the Israelites once again about the predicament of Moses. The Bible said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go up to the mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given to Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the water in the desert of Sin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes.' These were the water of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Sin. That unholy acts is remembered by God, and Moses need to pay the penalty of not getting into the promised land. I'm for sure that today your church, Burnaby Pacific Grace, is entering into the promised land that God has prepared for you. I have no doubt for this. But at this moment of time, God is asking you, what are you holding in your hand? What are you holding in your hands? Your answer, a rod. But do you know what kind of rod you are holding? Your own rod or the lost rod? How are you going to use the rod in your hand? By your own will or through the will and commission of God? To let go the right of possession, to let go the right of execution, and make my rod to be the lost rod. And in this case, God is going to perform miraculous signs, miracles in your church. One by one, miracles will happen in this church. So what's that in your hand? What's that in your hand? Let's bow our hand and pray. Dear Lord, we come to you. We know we are holding something in our hand, but we want to ask you to help us to really know that if we continue to grasp this tight, it will be just a dry trick without life. But if we are willing to let go the right of possession and to let go the right of execution, you can use what we are holding to perform miraculous signs, to bless a lot of people, and to build up your church. So, dear Lord, this is a decision today for us to think. Whether we want to continue to hold my rod, or I want to give this to you and let you to use it and let it become your rod. Dear Holy Spirit, help us, counsel us, empower us to make decision according to your will. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.